Hey, everybody. We are fully back in action post-NFT NYC. Really great show this morning. Felt great to be fully back in the saddle. We discussed Doodles, their news event regarding the Duplicopter and the hiring of Pharrell Williams as their chief brand officer, a bit about their history with events at the various NFT conferences, and then also discuss Other Deeds, Moonbirds, the current situation with the lawsuit that Yuga Labs is dishing out. All the main stories of the NFT space are covered today. Really exciting stuff. As usual, this content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the NFT Morning Show. We are back after NFT NYC. Sounds like some of you are still stuck in New York. I heard some flights got canceled and people are big mad about it, and I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to be paying $500 a night in a Times Square hotel either. But either way, you're here with us this morning. This is the show we do Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, every single week, talking about the ups, the downs, the stories, the heroes, the villains, and all of the action that we see in the NFT space week in, week out, day in, day out, sometimes hour in and hour out. And I'm really excited to get this one kicked off. First show after NFT NYC. Nifty Nick, my co-host. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
I'm out here. Frustrated with my, I've been like actively trading ETH.
So you pinged me yesterday. I had asked you.
Well, then I bought back. I'm now out of that position.
Okay. So want to hear something funny is, so you told me yesterday, that you bought, I don't remember how much, but you bought some ETH, and I was like, oh, you know, thanks for letting me know, because Nick does really well with his crypto trades, right? Like, a lot of times Nick's right on the money with his crypto trades. I dreamt last night that you got totally like wrecked as hell on that trade. Did that happen?
What? No. I lost $100, but that was after I'm up like 12,000 on the one that I mentioned last week that I discussed on this show. The target was 1450. Which would be a completion of this other dude, Pultu Pali, his butterfly pattern, a pattern which I never literally have traded.
I thought that was a joke when you told me about the butterfly pattern.
No, it's like legit. But I don't know how the hell you chart that thing out. There were a lot. There's like all sorts of angles involved and math that I just don't understand, primarily just because I've never used that pattern. So I do much more basic stuff, but I liked it. He convinced me to go long. It was a good trade. And then last night, I thought the dump that was going to happen, I had sold out at 1240 or something like that. Whenever ETH was at 1240, I sold my ETH and my Solana. And then as it just, or maybe slightly below, it seemed like it wasn't going higher. Anyways, long story short, I'm back out. So, and I'm waiting for something to change. But for now, it just feels like the technicals aren't great. So I'm waiting to see what happens.
Okay, well, I wish you had told me about the one that you made 12 grand on. That would have been nice to know.
Well, I was talking about it on the show. Like, you do realize I mentioned it like a dozen times. So if you listen to this show, P.O., then you'd know that.
Fair enough, Nick. Well, we have our other co-hosts, Signal and Captain Kicks, also known as the Weather Team. And I'm particularly curious to understand what's going on with the weather in the NFT space right now. I have the top 100 NFT projects by volume pulled up on OpenSea right now, and I'm actually really, you know, excited to talk about this. I think it's a fascinating time in the market right now, especially after that little rally that we saw in the crypto markets too. Weather Team, take it away.
Yeah, morning, folks. Today, Monday, the 27th of June. On volume, OpenSea continues to be flat. We're coming in at 15 million. This is pretty much the same what we saw during NFT NYC. So not much change there. On the blue chips, apes are at 89, mutants are at 18, and punks at 66. So we're pretty flat here as well. Whilst Moonbirds, they're back over 20 ETH. There was lots of positive feedback from NFT NYC for that project. Doodles have retraced a bit down to 12 ETH, while Clone X is steady at 10 ETH. Over the weekend, Yuga is leading the top NFT sales volumes. Other Deed is coming in at the top, closely followed by Apes and Punks. Land is almost back up to 3 ETH. The Discord were all over Moonrunners on the weekend. For a moment, it was Gossamer Seed versus Moonrunners, but it appears that Moonrunners are in the lead with a 0.7 ETH floor whilst we wait for Gossamer Seeds to revolve. And an obscure one, but CryptoKitties pumped high into the OS rankings after a rare founder cat sold for $88,000. There's only 100 founder cats, and the cheapest is listed for 50 grand. On to crypto. Crypto relief rally over the weekend with alt strongly rebounding. We have BTC at 21K, ETH in the 1200s. Sol now over 14. ApeCoin is at 4.7. Solana pumped because of a Web3 Android phone that has been announced. And ApeCoin pumped 22% after Eminem and Snoop Dogg debuted their new song at ApeFest. That video on YouTube has over 7 million views. Overall, out in the open sea, volume is flat as it comes. We've hit around 15 million all week, but the prices in the top projects have held well. If this relief rally goes up in an orderly fashion and ranges, we can expect volume to keep this holding pattern, maybe go up a little bit. But if we see any sharp, unexpected volatility in either direction, well, we know the NFT markets don't like surprises. So for now, it's calm, but keep an eye on the horizon because the weather changes quickly out here.
Absolutely fantastic weather report signal. Yeah, the action on Bored Ape Yacht Club ecosystem is definitely interesting to me, especially Other Deed specifically running up to 3 ETH again. What a ride Other Deed has been since it dropped. Captain Kicks, was there anything in the weather report or any other details that you saw over the weekend or this morning that you think are worth mentioning?
No, I think Signal really nailed it. I've been really impressed with our Discord's attention on Moonrunners because I think that was like the biggest win out there for people that have any sort of budget. I think one of the most frustrating things for people when they were getting into NFTs in like March and April was that it mints were costing a crazy amount of money, right? That was when like some mints were costing, one ETH, and that was like, $3,000 at the time. Over the past month or two, we've seen this trend with ETH coming down, mints have become more affordable, but then there's been a lot of projects that have been quite affordable and then have also seen, nice price appreciation. So our Discord was all over Moonrunners from the beginning, but there was lots of discussion when it was at 0.06. So that's over a 10x. There was, continued discussion around 0.2. That's like a, 3.5x from there. So I think this is just a really fun time period to be in for NFTs, despite it being a bear. Because I think, in order for us to really achieve mass market success, we can't have these, for lack of a better word, like elitist pricing and like, the only things that move up are the things that start at $3,000. So I think that was a really big win over the weekend. The Other Deed price action is pretty impressive. I haven't personally looked into it too much myself, but would love to hear from others if they have any idea if there's a catalyst or if it's just, bullish accumulation. I've also been keeping my eye on the Doodles ecosystem. They've been receiving a lot of, not FUD, but there's been a lot of, back and forth around their released roadmap that happened at NFT NYC. I think Duplicopters were above 3. They went down to 2. Now they're at 2.4. The Doodles main collection went up to 15, now down to 12. I think they announced that they're going to be doing their whole new ecosystem on Flow. And I think the NFT community and the holders of that project are trying to digest their new direction, where they're saying that they're trying to create this ecosystem, you know, where millions of people can join. And I guess some people are wondering, like, well, you know, by the nature of these millions of people joining, is that going to dilute, you know, the elite collections? But just the more I, you know, it, like when I saw what the Doodles did with the activation at NFT NYC, it was just so cool that I'm keeping my eye on it.
Got it. And I saw Spencer raised his hand. I don't know if you wanted to add on the Doodles. I was definitely excited to hear from Spencer. What's going on, bud?
Good morning, guys. Doodles is an interesting one. So I know a lot of people are super bullish on that announcement. I like couldn't be more bearish on their announcement.
The announcement of the roadmap or the announcement?
Yeah. Of a couple of things. So I'll break it down. Like, firstly, like, people forget that like their last project was CryptoKitties, right? And the issue with CryptoKitties was that the kitties were, there was breeding, right? And the kitties bred and there was millions of NFTs and they just drove it into the ground. So I thought it was a really weird announcement to me that they said thousands to millions of NFTs, because the last time that team put something out, that was the issue, was that they went to millions of NFTs and it completely tanked the project. So that's one thing. The other one too is, you know, Captain Kicks, like, they delivered an event, but we've seen their team deliver an event before really well. That was sort of the first gigapump of Doodles was during South by Southwest, that event. And I was really hoping that they'd announce, for example, like some utility for Space Doodles 1 before announcing Space Doodles 2. Like, to me, that team, for all the resources they have, has delivered on nothing besides events and like one airdrop. Like, I want to see them deliver on something else. I also like still am having a hard time wrapping my head around why it makes sense for them to be a music NFT. Like, we joke about music NFTs all the time in this space. I don't know that I'm bullish. You know, they got the Billboard CEO, now they've got Pharrell Williams. Those are great people, but like, there hasn't been successful activations of the concept of a music NFT yet. So if that's what they're going towards, I don't know that I'm on board with that vision.
I'm particularly impressed with the, you know, hiring of Pharrell. I would love to know what, you know, what that really entails, right? Like, how hands-on he is or who the team is that he appoints. Obviously, that is it's a massive name from the entertainment industry. And I'm seeing gradually more and more entertainment industry folks making their way into the NFT space, which is great. It's expected. But, you know, it has to kind of be figured out. I like the idea of Pharrell joining a team that is crypto native, that is already essentially, I don't know if you want to call Doodles a blue chip or call them like an elite project. They're a good one. Let's put it that way. I'd say that they're at least a top 10 project. I mean, you can run the numbers, top 10, top 15, no matter how you spin it. But I know what you're saying. I also know that, you know, my thesis on music NFTs is that the real breakout for music NFTs are going to be unknown artists that understand, you know, like the small guy, so to speak, that understand the NFT space, put out NFTs alongside of their music career, and then actually break out in the proper music industry as well and build a big audience, build a big fan base. That stuff doesn't happen overnight, though. So it'll be, you know, it'll be fascinating to watch it play out. Kicks, you have your hand raised. Do you have a response to what Spencer said?
Yeah, I think Spencer laid it out very well. I think that some of these projects, they're sort of like finding themselves in identity crises, where they like started off as like a profile pic project, and then they get this pile of money and these really high valuations, and then they almost kind of have to create the vision for the company like after the fact. And if you look at like traditional business world, like that's like the complete opposite, right? Like usually you spend a lot of time figuring out what your business plan is, right? And what your vision is, and then you go get money to execute on it. And the ironic thing about the NFT space is sometimes it happens in, you know, reverse. That's why, like, you know, with you know, my project Crypto Raiders, like, for us, our vision of the game and what we're building has been the same from the beginning, even when we didn't have much money. And now we have a lot more money. Like, the money didn't force us to change the vision at all. And so we're still building in the same direction. But I think that you can kind of look at Doodles and say, like, okay, they probably just originally launched it to be this profile pic project. And then they got tens of millions of dollars and all of this hype. And with that hype came a lot of expectation. And now they're having to try to create these, like, you know, grandiose visions or grandiose roadmaps to kind of justify these valuations. So I think what Spencer said is definitely, you know, accurate. I don't know. I just, like, look at some of their, I just love their art style. I love their, the way it makes me feel. But then at the end of the day, you know, that still doesn't justify spending $14,000 on a picture if you don't believe that they're going to be able to, like, you know, back into these big hype and, you know, expectations. But yeah, I think I agree with Spencer.
Yeah. 14K on a picture at the bottom. It sounded like, I don't know if that was Nick, somebody else. I know Spencer has his hand raised. Nick, was that you?
Do you
want to contribute?
I have something unrelated to it, which is popping up right now. But the Doodles aspect of things, I've been trying to actually sell various NFTs or trying to figure out which ones to sell in terms of offsetting the punk that I got. The Doodles are definitely one that I've looked at. And I agree with Spencer about the supply side of things. That aspect just makes literally no sense to me. I think what they've done is they've been very creative with their approach, and they're trying not to, you know, replicate Bored Ape Yacht Club's approach to things. The issue is, how do you do that? It's like, it's the challenge of how do you expand, and I think this is something which we're going to see more of, is how do you expand the IP while retaining value for the original project. And frankly, to date, Bored Ape Yacht Club is the only one that arguably has been able to pull that off in any way whatsoever. I guess Larva Labs technically did with CryptoPunks and then MeBits being able to drop, and that MeBits hasn't negatively impacted the floor of punks. But overall, the question then is, like, after we move past this PFP phase, the question is, well, what did I buy into? Like, what is the structure of that business? And what are they building? And Doodles is one where, I mean, yeah, they've been able to host a lot of great events and in-person stuff. And I mean, you can just hire a team to do that. If you have, you know, $30 million, putting on a in-person event isn't really all that challenging. You can even hire an agency to do that sort of thing. And we saw a bunch of people, including Deadfellas. Deadfellas' installation at VCon was quite impressive and extensive in how it was set up. And I think it's similar to things that we've seen Doodles do over the years. Or years, that's over the months.
Over the years.
Over the years.
Since September.
Exactly. Over the months. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to fall one way or another. I think Doodles are one of the leading NFT projects at this point in time. And so it's difficult to, you know, the space isn't that big in the grand scheme of things. It's a decent
tiny.
It's a decent size, but it's still definitely pretty small. So I think that that's something that needs to be taken into consideration. And when we look at, like, the number of potential blue chips, it's limited in scale. So they still fall into, like, I feel like they would be comparable at this point with, like, a Cool Cats or something like that. But they're priced at three times, actually a little more if you include the duplicator or whatever, which I still don't understand what I'm able to do with that outside of, like, it's going to offset or produce a bunch of other NFTs. Is that supposed to be a liquidity event for me? Like, am I going to just print 100 of these things and sell them? I don't know what exactly is coming on that front.
So from the announcement, the duplicator, and I was actually really surprised with this, the duplicator duplicates the traits as new NFTs of the parent NFT. So the like the that's where they were saying the millions and thousands of new NFTs come from, is that your duplicator can copy traits from the like original set doodles to be used in the second doodles collection, is my understanding. On that news, I was shocked they pumped. I sold all of my duplicators because I was really hoping it would be a companion NFT, and it wasn't. So I'll be the first to admit I was wrong there. But they also did a weird funding announcement, which like 776 leading their round. I think a lot of people were bullish on that. But 776 I would put in probably like the second tier of crypto VCs. And it's interesting that the tier one passed on this. Because like, for example, Andreessen definitely had a look at doodles and didn't do it. And so I'm interested to see how this all plays out. I think I would be hesitant to interpret the funding announcement as super bullish, because Alexis Ohanian, while he's great, 776 leading around means that the truly top tier VCs all passed on it.
Very sober look at doodles. I also love that we have Moonbirds, Doodles, and Cool Cats represented on the stage right now. This conversation's getting juicy. I want to hear...
But ladies and gentlemen, we have a variety of PFPs on this stage, which means you're getting diversity of thought.
This is the most diverse stage of guys.
Signal,
of course. And but Wappy, with his hand raised, first of all, Wappy, that is a badass Moonbird. I don't think I saw you whip that Moonbird out before. That thing is no joke. You must not.
Holy cow. That must mean you have some big brain ideas coming our way.
Well, Wappy was mad at Moonbirds last week because they kicked him out of the party or whatever. Just because not because he was like too drunk or anything, just because he like walked out the door to let Signal in, and then they were just like, fuck off, don't come back, which doesn't sound like it was the best look. But Wappy,
he's still representing the PFP now. So like maybe it's a change of heart. Maybe things have been resolved. Did they give you an extra Lululemon bag? And if so, can I get it?
Hey, so what I got to say about the Moonbirds is the party was good, and me not getting back in was like me being a little salty. But after I bitched about it, someone who works at Proof in like a consumer experience role DM'd me and like fully acknowledged all the things I was griping about. And they're like, we're going to try to do better. So no other fucking nice. Project has reached out to me with customer experience to let me know next time we're going to try to make it better for you all. So that made me like bullish on the Moonbird. I guess where I'm at with the doodles, I don't understand what the value proposition is for me as an OG doodle holder. And I think expanding the collection to tens of thousands, to millions, I just don't see a lot of people paying me a significant premium for a trait like a happy sticky face note or a spotted hoodie trait. So like, I don't understand like what's really going on with doodles and where like the value prop is as an OG holder. I know a lot of people are probably going to say like I'm being petty and I'm nitpicking something here, but like my user experience at Doodles events was by far the worst out of anything at NFT NYC.
Oh, damn.
So, I totally agree with this.
You know, and I'm a holder, and it's just like I felt like there was a lot of people in lines that were not holders, and they weren't letting, you know, they weren't giving us any sort of priority or anything. You know, other lines that I waited in, they were passing out like food or drinks while you were waiting, or ponchos if it's the rain. Doodles, nothing. You know, they actually sent people through the line to basically tell us, you know, get the fuck out of the line if you don't have your pass. We're not going to give you a pass. You guys need to like bunch up closer together so you can stand under the awning because it's raining right now. We're not going to like do anything for you. So it's just like, I feel like Doodles didn't anticipate the amount of demand that they actually had for NFT NYC. And it left me feeling not super thrilled with my doodle experience. So coming out of it and, you know, with all this duplicator stuff, I don't really understand what it means for me. So, you know, I'm probably looking to move my doodle, and if I can sell it, I'll sell it and I'll try to rock something else. I think the main thing for me is I'm more interested in the ape ecosystem and the Moonbird ecosystem right now, because I think Moonbirds have a lot of stuff coming, and the ape ecosystem would just be to be able to go to things like ApeFest or things that they're going to throw in Basel or any of the other events around the world. So I'm not sure if I'm super bearish doodles, but I don't really want to be a part of it anymore.
You raise a good point, which you could sell the doodle and the duplicator and get pretty close to buying a Moonbird, which wouldn't be an awful trade. That said, that ignores tax implications, which we got to do something about this whole tax thing. You know, like we got to just This is a bunch of bullshit.
Don't worry, the price of ETH is on it. With ETH where it is, you probably owe very little taxes.
Well, I'm still up on the doodle, unfortunately, although I should look back at what ETH was at when I got it. I got it for one ETH, I think. So that means that I bought it for three.
You got to be up on it. There's no way that you're not up on it. But all right, a couple things.
I'm up huge in ETH, but I'm down big in USD if I sell mine. So
it's really?
Fucked up space.
Oh, shit.
What?
Okay. Fucked up space.
Whoppy got screwed. So maybe that influenced his review of the event experience. He's like, if I'm going to lose 15 grand on this PFP, I want an individual person holding an umbrella over me as I navigate the streets of New York City. And while I'm at it, I want to be carried in a damn chariot.
Well, what I was going to say is that my biggest takeaway is like Wappy has expectations for these NFT events as if he's staying at like a 5-star hotel or something, like, you know, a place. Seven stars, you know, however many stars you want to throw out there. And I get it. I totally get it, Wappy. It's like if I go to a Michelin star restaurant that I have to buy a ticket just to get into, I'm expecting some good service. Or if I go to a
$25,000 ticket, nonetheless.
Right, exactly. But so here's the deal. The thing is, though, too, is like you look at a brand like Doodles, which again has been around since September, and it's a crypto native brand. Then all of a sudden, there's expectations of their events to like kick ass, like in real life events at conferences. You plan it out beforehand, you spend money on it, and then you have to execute an event, which, look, a smart contract development company, an artist, like an event is not necessarily the thing that they natively know how to do. The other thing is that the popularity of these things, it really just exploded so fast. Think about how quickly you go from zero to extremely popular with a lot of these NFT projects. So I try to cut people some slack. I really like what Moonbirds did, how you complained about your experience and somebody reached out to you. That's really easy to do, right? All that means is that you actually have staff on your payroll that can reach out. And I'm sure Doodles has the same thing. I would be very surprised if Doodles doesn't have qualified staff. But there are other NFT projects that don't have like staff because the founders took all the money from the primary sale. And as a result, you don't get that same customer experience. The one devil's advocate thing that I want to throw out there about like the supply on Doodles, I understand that all of us could be, you know, sitting here and basically be scarred by mass supply of NFTs. You look at Top Shot, you look at Zed Run, and you look at these other examples where people just kept increasing the supply. You know, Dead Friends wasn't bullish for Dead Fellas, for example. All these different examples of supply increasing having negative effects. But my devil's advocate is like, what if they have a game plan to maybe make those thousands, tens of thousands, millions of NFTs this low cost, basic level entry point to the Doodles ecosystem, with the idea that someone like Pharrell Williams, that is a mainstream celebrity and has a network of celebrities like no one else, right? I would be comfortable saying that Pharrell is like the top of the food chain when it comes to like celebrity network. And the idea is to really bring Doodles into the mainstream. And, you know, at the end of the day, Pharrell partnered with Doodles. He didn't partner with, you know, I mean, even Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? And I think a lot of people think that Doodles has that mainstream look from an art perspective for men and women. I think Cool Cats is actually pretty similar too. But at the end of the day, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Pharrell's, like, the goal is for Pharrell to bring Doodles to the mainstream, get them in front of as many eyeballs as possible, and then onboard people that have never bought an NFT before by letting them buy a $50 NFT or something like that, which is something that we've talked about before. There's a lot of questions to ask on that. Is that on Ethereum? How does that work? Are they going to make an app and make their own blockchain or use like a centralized blockchain like Solana or something? So there's a lot going on there, but I wanted to float that out there. We got Dota on stage, who looks like he's a doodle. So I wanted to
hear. Yo, your mom looks like a doodle.
Dota, I don't know if you have any thoughts on what I just brought up as a doodle holder.
Hey, yeah, I think you bring up a lot of great points. I've got my doodles at about like 18 ETH about like 5 days ago. I was like,
so you're a new doodle holder. You're not an OG like Wappy.
No,
he's
no,
a noodler.
No, I'm not a genius like Nick either. I didn't get a one ETH doodle back in September.
Well, hey, I appreciate you throwing some respect as is deserved on me. So really appreciate that. Thank you.
No, you guys are the big dogs. Y'all got it. I take notes whenever I listen to this show.
Please don't.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Don't do that. Dude, like on YouTube the other day, someone just named like the past four NFTs that I bought that like went down, like didn't go up. And I was just like, damn, dude, you're really like fucking, you're tracking my shit.
I did have two people at NFT NYC. Like I found two people that had followed me into bad trades. At least one being the V Friend Spectacular. And they were like, oof. Yeah, I bought one of those with you. And I'm like, oh, well,
with that one, yikes. I mean, dude, you did what Gary V literally texted you and said, buy this. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like they, and you said,
yeah, so we should be mad at Gary. And you know, why are you coming up to me? It's not my fault. So if if you follow me into any trade, remember that it's Gary's fault. Sorry, Dota, you came on stage and then I just talked right over you.
Nah, you're good. If anything, I'm gonna add to that. Pio, remember Castle Kids?
Yeah, that was a good one.
That. Yeah, that was solid.
Well, we didn't. I mean, that one.
Or like everyone that comes on now is just gonna have like a throwback to remember. Hey, remember this piece of shit project you thought was the next big thing?
Well, if I remember Castle Kids, Castle Kids was an NFT project by a music video director, and I believe it. I mean, so first of all, where's the accountability for some of this stuff on the creators? Because I'm pretty sure if I remember the math on it, Castle Kid made at least $2 or $3 million. And my career in the entertainment industry when I was in my early to mid 20s, I've talked about it before, was as a music video director. And let me tell you, that music video director has never made $2 to $3 million in a 1 day period or ever, because the music industry is not flinging money around like that. So what happened to that project? What's the $2 million being spent on? But what I was going to say is that when we bought that, I bought that at 0.1. It went to 0.2. So I should have sold there. I didn't. And then it went down. But that wasn't like wreckage the way that something like, I mean, you know, there's examples in my wallet right now of like real carnage, you know.
Could you imagine if we spent like $300,000 on umbrellas because Wappy was our advisor and was like, yo, dude, there's going to be rain at your event. You gotta buy umbrellas for everybody. And we just get the finest umbrellas. So you're walking the streets and you're like, yo, I got that nifty portal umbrella. And then people come back and they're like, yo, we're just like, yo, sorry about that PFP project. We bought umbrellas.
I think that's a good call. I want to keep the conversation going, but I just want to reset for people that might be new. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We are back after NFT NYC. We did the show every day during NFT NYC, but I was physically dilapidated. I just could not move. And so I'm considering this the grand return. The show is sponsored by FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. Cheapest fees or cheapest spreads in the game to buy crypto. Gas is transactions on NFTs. And FTX is bringing in fractional share stock trading without payment for order flow. He just bought 8% of Robinhood, SBF did. So he's going to take a page out of their book and fix everything that they did wrong. And as always, our NFT is pinned to the top. Definitely check it out if you want to buy an NFT by a Web3 media company. We got Chase on stage rocking a pretty fly Moonbird. So we got, yeah, we're flocking on stage right now with Moonbirds.
What was the last statement that you said there? You said buy an umbrella. No, you were talking about FTX, and then you're just like, and buy a Web3 media company. I have no idea what.
Yeah, you didn't listen for a second. It's a very common practice by Nick, but I mentioned always, our NFT is
well
at the top.
I was paying attention to the Discord where they were talking about Coda's flying right now.
Oh, let's go. Oh, that's all right. Sorry, I didn't mean to have an emotional reaction, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not biased towards Coda's in any way. But I'm going to throw to Chase right now, but then I want to throw to Easy because we haven't heard from Easy. I'm assuming it's 9:41, so Sleepy Easy has woken up at this point. But Chase, what's going on?
Yo, GMPO. What's up, everyone? Yeah, I wanted to weigh in briefly on the Doodles stuff. And I won't belabor it too long because we've talked about it for a while. First of all, I got to meet Node at the Moonbirds party, which is awesome.
Chatted with Node mode.
Yeah.
Where's his ass this morning? What are we paying this guy for?
He posted a photo of himself in Yosemite, and he was just like, you know, experiencing relaxation. I think he's meditating in the woods right now.
Unacceptable. All right, go ahead. Sorry, Chase.
Yeah, ironically, I also ran into him in the Doodles line as well. So this is a timely Node reference, but... PO, on your little statement that you said a second ago, I agree on that. You know, that's like the bull case for me with Doodles. First of all, I do need to clarify, like, Flow hasn't been confirmed as the blockchain. I actually jumped in the Doodles Discord to check on that because I didn't think it had been. I imagine it would be some sort of, gasless, quote unquote. Of course, I mean, let's be honest, Ethereum is gassless these days with how little usage.
Yeah, no one's using it.
Yeah, so when people are like, oh, Ethereum gas fees, I'm like, you actually don't use Ethereum because Ethereum really isn't, that gas fees aren't bad at all. So it's always, that's an easy one to find out that people don't really use this stuff. So I think if they can, at the end of the day, what the Doodles has going for them is just the fact that, look, I'm a Doodles holder, but obviously I rock the Moonbird for the most part. But it's, in my opinion, it's the art that makes people feel the best. And inside and out of the space, right? Like, I even took a little video that I took of the, let's call it the live minting experience, although you didn't actually technically mint something on the spot. I posted it on LinkedIn, and it's, for lack of a better word, it's absolutely mooning over there. So people are really curious about this stuff. If they can find a way to connect, let's call it the mainstream audience with the original collection, PO, I agree that, you know, they just need to clarify how the millions of users is going to drive real concrete value back to holders. If they can do that, I think it creates a really interesting bull case for the original collection. It's just unclear at the moment how they're going to do it. Unfortunately, they're losing the narrative a little bit, and the narrative, I believe, is beginning to switch a little bit bearish. However, you know, people like Pharrell, you know, I actually think that, you know, Alexis Ohanian's fund is a good thing, because, you know, I mean, look, they're the only fund that's invested in Moonbirds, right? So there's a nice connection there. But I think if they can get all those kind of players that have taken a bit of an interest in Doodles at this point, all firing, you know, on the same cylinders and really find a way to get the mainstream into the collection in a way that drives value back to holders, then it creates a really nice and unique bull case for the original collection. Unfortunately, the narrative is just slipping a little bit right now, and I think they need to grab the narrative a bit. And because at the end of the day, I mean, you know, 99% of us are here to make money, and the other 1% are just here for vibes. I'm consider me kind of a 50-50. I'm not bullish. I'm not bearish. But at the end of the day, I think they have the strongest brand in the space from a feel-good perspective that could actually garner mass appeal. So if there's anyone that's going to reach a million users, it would be Doodles art, in my opinion, which I think kind of goes towards what you were saying a moment ago, Pio.
Nick, I saw you on mute. Was there something you wanted to add?
I did, but then I was just like, nah. You know, that's how I was thinking about it.
I'm picturing you just lamping right now on the couch, just like, you know what?
I'm sitting in front of my computer with the microphone borderline in my mouth. There's some gentleman outside of my door here examining one of my air conditioners.
How long until the air conditioning situation
is resolved? I got two of them are resolved. Basically, the motors make noises when I showed up here. Into this apartment, it sounded like a jet engine taking off when I turned on the air conditioner. And so that was unacceptable. When I do the show, I'd turn off the AC. So I'd set it at a ridiculously low level and then adjust that at a later point. Anywho, that's the situation with my air conditioning. And that's relevant to Doodles for no reason whatsoever. I'm like on the fence here about this whole Doodle situation. I went and looked at it though. So I ultimately ended up spending $6,500 on this Doodle. So technically at this point I'm up like what? I have an offer for 11 ETH and I think the floor is higher than that. So you have whatever, I'm up a decent amount, call it, you know, $10,000 or something like that, which is good. I'm just skeptical of the market as a whole. But doodles are one of the top ones. I like how he was just saying that the doodles narrative is slipping, and I feel like it's literally only been slipping in the past 5 minutes. We've gone from we're like, okay, let's examine doodles, and suddenly went from Spencer being like, this shit is awful, it's going to the ground, and then suddenly like the other existing doodle holders are sort of like, yeah, you know what, I am a little bit concerned about this doodly behavior that they have going on, and I'm not quite sure what to make of it. Well, if I don't have anything that's extremely bullish, then I guess I have to be bearish on this. Yeah, what the fuck is going on, doodles? You know, get it together, team.
Wapping in like their event.
Solve the problem. You didn't have umbrellas in the line. You're building on a different blockchain, even though it's pretty clear that Ethereum doesn't have significant gas fees. What the hell are you doing? Get it together, doodles.
Reservation system would have been great, Nick. I'm just saying, a reservation system. Hey, here's your ticket. Come back at 4:30, motherfucker. Don't wait in line.
Well, I agree with that. I couldn't even get a damn ticket to the thing because I didn't go in the Discord.
That's the other thing. There's only like 4,600 of us who hold those fucking things, and a good amount of us didn't even register for the ticket. So why am I waiting in a goddamn line for like 4 hours?
It's over. Doodles just Whoppy buried them. They're dead. It's over. Dead. You heard it here first. Floor of the doodles.
Wapi's complaining like he's just at a kind of expensive dinner and isn't getting the service that he wants. But just to put an actual bow on what Chase was talking about, I think it's really hard for people in the NFT space to extrapolate, you know, to see the future, to tell the vision, if you will. And I really do think that In the future, there's going to be like value accrual to the OG pieces in a collection that represent like the top tier of membership to the club, quote unquote, and then, you know, accessibility for the masses. And I don't think that accessibility to the masses devalues the top tier. I think it actually drives value to the top tier, you know?
But, yeah. When will like a Bored Ape be worth $500,000 again?
I mean, dude, they've been around for 1 year. Imagine 6 years from now. You know what I mean? Like, Bitcoin's been around for 13 years.
I got to hold this thing for 6 years. What's going on, man? I had big plans, big dreams, living in the city, getting a beautiful place, and it's not going up.
Air conditioning's not working.
I'm dealing with one of my multiple air conditioners not functioning properly. You know, this is the type of life.
It's a real struggle. So Easy, my guy, Easy, I feel like we didn't get like a proper Solana recap in the past few days. You and me, we just had no energy, weren't able to communicate on the show. But it sounds like Solana's on fire. It sounds like you were the big hit of Solana at NFT NYC. These other Solana influencers were trying to get into events, and the red carpet was just rolled out for Easy Eats Bodega. He's getting people.
All right. I wish I put the bags. I wish it was that smooth. I did have a blast there. The solo events go much harder, probably because the average age is like 21.
Out of shoes.
Yeah, I mean, like, the best part about that was, I forget who I think it might have been like CB, I don't know who it was, I don't want to misquote it, but they posted an article, and it said, multiple young adults drink beers out of shoes while onlookers cheer. And it was a picture from the yacht boat of like seven people doing shoeies. It was awesome, like a ton of fun. People really do get active. It was a blast, met a bunch of cool people. But Sol was hot last week. There was an event in Barcelona where Anatoly and Raj Kajal, the creator of Solana, talked and unveiled the phone, the Solana smartphone that's going to be coming out. So I'm personally really interested in it. I put the $100 deposit down, so I'm going to be rocking with two phones. Really excited for that. I think there's a lot of just cool things coming from that. I think there's some misconceptions too. People think that because they're dropping a phone, they have to compete with the likes of Apple, Samsung, you name it. And we've even seen Amazon fail with a phone when they tried to drop the Fire phone. But I think the bigger thing here is like this now opens up an opportunity for this Android phone to create like decentralized applications for that, where currency like Solana can actually be used much like Apple Pay. So I think the actual kind of utility behind this is a cool thing. You also get an NFT for putting a $100 deposit down on it. So kind of a cool little crossover there. But overall, I mean, besides that, the market's just like, people are just really excited. Like, there's just a lot of interest still in Solana NFTs. I do want to kind of call out, though, we are seeing a lower number of unique signers, which means less new people entering the space at the moment. But I think that's everywhere in NFTs. We still have decent floor prices, decent trading across the board from Sol NFTs. New projects are still selling out. But I mean, just overall in general, with this kind of choppy market, it's tough to really get a gauge on either side. I mean, I talked to Nick more than I'd probably like to about potential trades. We were both long overnight. And we were actually texting before the show, and I think we both exited the trade we were on.
That was a good thing, because ETH just dumped.
Absolutely shit the bed down to 1188 here. But that was kind of my thought, too. Like, it's tough to really understand what the market's going to do. And if we chop like this for a while, I do think that's actually probably better for NFTs. I think that relief rally we saw last week and so many people being away from their computer kind of drew some of that the floor prices up, especially on Sol NFTs, because you don't have all of us degens flooring everything. Right now, though, I mean, everyone's kind of back. Price is now fluctuating again. Sol's back under 40. It's kind of tough to figure this out. It's kind of sitting on my hands. I mean, I'm scalp trading a lot of the actual coin market at this moment. Not really interested in much from Solana projects, though. I haven't seen anything that's too exciting, which is kind of a concern.
Well, I'm going to be looking forward to listening to Solana Made Easy at 4 p.m. when co-hosting, too. Really excited to call out one of the guys that's on that show. I'm not going to say who it is, but that's at what time do we do that at? Easy, I forget. 5 p.m.
5 p.m. Eastern time. Tune in. We'll be there, living well, getting better. It'll be great.
Sounds great. And yeah, I mean, it was fascinating to see NFT NYC's impact, not only on the market, but for example, on the viewership of our show. Or maybe that was just because I literally was barely awake and was not bringing the energy, but who knows. But it did feel like there was a material impact of NFT NYC, which in my opinion is actually a good thing, because that means that the NFT market showed up for the big conference. And now I feel like, you know, Art Basel is the only other conference this year that's really going to be hard hitting. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Vegas conference that emerges. It sounds like Bored Ape Yacht Club is looking into that. And I just saw somebody in the Discord say, because we were talking about 5-6 years from now, someone in the Discord immediately said Bored Ape Yacht Club is just literally going to go to zero in 5 to 6 years. So another example of not being able to kind of extrapolate and sort of see the future, which is, again, just so hard to do.
I like how you're just like definitively with 100% clearly they're fucking idiots and it's going to $1 million. And if you don't see the math, because this is a perfect exponential logarithmic curve to the moon, then you're just not understanding NFTs. Like, you clearly don't understand the math here.
I mean, look, we'll see what happens in 6 years. Dota has his hand raised again. What's going on?
Hey, sorry to bring the combo back to Doodles, but I wanted to talk about like kind of like the macro scale level reason why I kind of got my Doodles. And you know, I have a friend who's a big whale and like an OG in the space, and they look at and they own like Bored Ape Yacht Clubs, they own like the Moonbirds, and you know, they're big on the gaming you know, aspect, and they're like really Web3 native. Me, on the other hand, I'm like as normal as it could get. I like try to like look at NFTs in terms of like not as normal as it get. I think I'm like a degen as everybody else, but like I'm like I like to counter their argument. And you know, they were like bashing Doodles as well, and they were saying like, hey, Doodles is just like they have nothing going for them, they pump on announcements. They're just like a big branding agency. And for me, like when I got into NFTs, I thought that's what NFTs were supposed to be. Right. So like they're more than just a PFP. They're supposed to be like a brand, and they're supposed to have like like things that they're able to do that like in that attract the masses. So whenever I saw like Pharrell hop on board, in my opinion, Pharrell's like a creative director. And at the time when I saw him hop on board, I was also looking at Gota Pass. I'd got one for like around 4 Ethereum, and like right now they're at like 10 Ethereum. So I like to look at like the contemporary art side of things from, you know, like art blocks and, you know, the pump that we saw recently with like that whole range of like collections that are just like holding up their value. I think like if you can, you know, find a way to cross mix that kind of, you know, set of contemporary artists with a creative director like Pharrell, or just, you know, anybody in the just the industry of entertainment, you know, I think you're able to like attract the real masses. And to them, like, in my opinion, gamified NFTs, like the other side, it's time consuming. It could be time consuming. I don't know if it's like gonna be a game where you just like, you know, turn something on, leave it to run, and then like come back and check on it, or if it's a game where like you have to be like interactive. So for me, like, I'd have a in real life job. I'm thinking like in 5 years, I'm going to be like, personally, I'm going to be a doctor. So I have no time like in the future for NFTs in terms of like interactivity. But I would love to use my NFT as like a token or a brand or something I can always be an ambassador for. So for me, like looking forward into the horizon, I think Bored Ape Yacht Club is the safest bet in the world. And if they have like a game coming out, yeah, I think that's a super safe bet. But at the same time, I think like what Moonbird is trying to do in terms of like attract a larger audience is the same thing as like Doodles is trying to do.
Yeah, and you're jumping around a lot. There's a lot of different concepts there. You know, a lot of stuff that we did talk about, a lot of stuff that we haven't talked about yet. And I want to get to other D just to figure out what the story is on why we're getting this pump. Easy, you have your hand raised. Was there something that you wanted to add there?
Not specific to other D, but it is kind of about like the metaverse and gaming side of stuff. I don't know if anyone else saw that GTA 6 conversation that came out where they mentioned reference to cryptocurrency rewards in the game for players to earn and trade. That's interesting to me, but I think a lot of people are overestimating the idea that it's going to be a way to take those out of the game. They've had a stock market in the game forever at this point. You don't actually get those rewards, so it wouldn't shock me if they did some form of similar trading to that. But it does bring up an interesting conversation and almost a pivot into other side, where the gamification thing seems like it is starting to come more to fruition, but I still think we're years behind where like a metaverse and engaging in the game and like, if you're familiar with the GTA space and what people do on Twitch, I know Kix has talked about it. There's like GTA RP where you are basically in a metaverse and interacting is like a separate life, almost like Second Life. So this is really interesting to see that. There's been a lot of talk on Twitter about this over the weekend because this news dropped yesterday. And a lot of people bringing up that comparison to other side where the first game that kind of launches something where you can take those assets out is going to be probably the first mover's advantage on it. But I do think that like something like a Grand Theft Auto won't be that. I think they're going to keep it all in game or in house. Other side though, to your point, I was just looking, this thing is pumped and I have no idea why. So I'm actively trying to figure out news event, what happened, where's this pump coming from? What's the cause? What's the trigger?
What's the cause? Wappy, you got any insight on another dude?
Well, Wappy, the other deed insider, let's turn it over to Wappy, who clearly is on the streets with an umbrella, so he's protected out there. What are your thoughts on other deeds, Wappy?
I actually like other deeds. I think other deeds might do well. But, that's far away. That's the other thing.
It is far away, and the news that they have is that there's a tech demo that they're rolling out. I don't know, man.
That's such bad news.
Yeah.
That is a disappointment. These things are going so far down quickly. Yeah.
I think it's a disappointment no matter what. Like, if there's anything that we've learned in the NFT space, like, what are they possibly going to roll out that's not?
It's got to be a fully functioning game.
But so here's the thing that I think is underappreciated, but who knows what happens. I think that there's a large number of private investors, more so funds that probably invested in this. I'm also thinking that as Bored Ape Yacht Club closed their venture round, that there was also the offering to, there wasn't an offering to VCs, but I think that a lot of them had capital allocated to invest in other deeds. And I frankly believe that is what's propping up the price to a certain degree. Like, it's not just the consumer of NFTs / the existing market of speculators. I think there's a broader group that is actually buying into this. I'm not as bullish on that aspect of Bored Ape Yacht Club because, I mean, they're big on gaming. There's a large portion. So I went to two events. I went to the Ape Fest, where I will say the Eminem song, it showed up on my release radar on Spotify. Outside of watching the video, where I'm like, I don't know, like, what my thoughts are on this, but I enjoyed the song. Like, it's a decent song. I mean, I don't know if it's going to go down as, like, you know, a classic, but I enjoyed listening to it. It was good rap. And then I think that they could focus heavily just on the cultural side of things and not build out this entire game. And that would be sufficient. That's the thing where I just don't understand why it's necessary to even develop all of this. And it seems like money kind of wasted, like building a game. Like that was never a required thing. I mean, and it just seems to be something that they're aligned with, but I don't know if they ever like built a game before. So I don't know. I'm just not feeling it all that much when it comes to other deeds.
Yeah, that's the, you know, the response, the narrative of the NFT space is exactly what you just said. And I think it's going to continue to be. And I don't expect a positive response from the demo. No chance. Like, what could they possibly put out that would make the NFT space have a positive response? Like, I would be
astonished.
So you
think if they release like a Fortnite type game, that won't be bullish for it?
I think you could release the best game ever and the NFT space is going to be like, oh yeah, that's corny though.
My bigger concern is, do they drop an actual gameplay footage or do they drop another like trailer? Like they dropped with all those teasers in it for six other projects where four of them weren't even in any value. You know,
it says tech demo, so I'm imagining you can like walk around, but like I got Zelda because it was like ranked one of the when I had a Nintendo Switch and I was playing it and it was cool, but I played it for like a couple hours and was like, I'm good, I just don't have the time to do this. Rocket League, on the other hand, I mean, if they came out with something like that, very interesting.
Came out with a very soccer game,
which seems
cars.
More practical. Am I crazy here? Like, why do you need to build a full-blown metaverse? Like, it just seems
shorter
crazy.
Gameplay, more games to be played, it'd do well. Like, you don't need a massive open-world metaverse to make people interested in playing. Like, they're just, I don't know. I'm bearish on other sides. I've been saying it forever. I'm glad they're up to three. End of August, they'll be sub one.
I'm going to throw to Micah, but we're not doing a full-on video game discussion because as soon as you start talking about video games in the NFT space, people are like, oh, I got something. Like, we're not
Micah,
doing it.
What Absolutely are your thoughts not. On video games?
No, like, Micah, whatever you want to talk about is
Micah,
fine, but we're not going
thought,
art video games.
On PO's thought, the fact that people want to talk about it is a weird reason to pivot away from it. Like, we prefer to talk about
the people
want to
talk about it, but
the
audience doesn't want to listen to it. That's actually not the best. You know, that's not the best comment.
Other side land will be using Bitcoin as the currency.
No, but my point was not actually about other side land in general. It was more just like people just enjoy betting. So to me, when he asked the question, like, what's the pump? The pump is just that, like, that's the next big thing to come out. And it's a betting market. Like, basically you're just betting, is the demo cool or is it not? And people just like betting. So I don't think it's a sign of like good or positive. It's literally just the degens looking forward on the calendar and saying, what can I bet on?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do any sort of gambling-related stuff in the NFT space, it's going to be a win. You look at some of the stuff that Easy's got popping on Solana. But I do think it's interesting for these things to pump ahead of this demo just because I feel like there's not going to be – like, how often could you possibly deliver, like, news events when you're – you know, when you're going through an undertaking like this? We want to have Maddie DCL Blogger, one of our investors in our seed round, on the show. I think he is without question the most appropriate person to discuss this. There is no second best because Maddie came into the NFT space in 2018 right after the big dump and was buying Decentraland, you know, DCL, Decentraland, and making content about it. So he's like the only person that consistently made content on YouTube about NFTs, or specifically metaverse land, if you want to get extra niche, from 2018, 2019, 2020, all the way into 2021. And, you know, that those purchases of of Decentraland land back then, which, by the way, weren't even like on exchanges or you know, marketplaces. You had to do like backdoor deals with people to get them. But obviously, they ended up, it worked out incredibly well for him, turned into millions of dollars. We got to get him on the show, and he's agreed to come on. We just got to get him booked to talk about this thing, because he is the person to talk to about this. Go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say something completely unrelated to that, please. Which was that did we ever say – when did this lawsuit from – I don't want to discuss – I don't even want to say – but I feel like it's worth for 2 seconds just at least. Did sure. we put that in the weather report or like what
– It was in the news. It was in a newsletter. I put it in a newsletter this morning.
Got it. Okay.
About the lawsuit.
I mean, my like I looked at it and I feel like the biggest takeaway was like they have to do this just to protect their trademark, and that's the synopsis of the whole situation. Like, I don't know if there's anything else worth mentioning about it, but that was my biggest takeaway, and that's it. Like, literally nothing else. I read it. That was the conclusion. I don't know if there was anything else worth noting about that particularly relevant. I did see the person who made the video came out and sort of like was kind of trying to protect himself from a perspective that seemed like fearful that he was potentially going to be sued for a libelous slander or something like that. So I don't know if people saw that. He was like, I didn't make any money off of this. I was not, you know, tipped off by the source. And I don't know, he seemed particularly concerned. But the only reason I mentioned that is it did seem for a moment to actually impact the floor price. Like, the floor price did come down for a period of time, and we saw a bunch going to offers. The floor has since bounced back. But so that it did have an impact for a period of time there. And I think that was something. And some of the people that are involved with it are now generally concerned, because you could like actually quantify the interesting thing here is some of the brand reputation damage if you were just to track the market activity in this space. And that to me is something that is pretty significant. So I just thought it was worthwhile noting. I don't know that it has a huge impact on other deeds, but yeah, that was just something that was big over the weekend and worth noting. I saw both Jesse and Signal had their hand raised.
Yeah, I saw Signal raised your hand.
I was actually going to say, back in December, I wrote if pretty much everyone on stage here, I asked them back in December, can you give me your predictions for 2022? And Jesse was one of the people that I included in my write up, and his prediction in December 2021. Was, and this is quoting Jesse, a major scandal involving using an NFT's project's IP for an offensive or politically incorrect purpose, leading to a backlash against the CCO movement. There'll be a trend away from CCO for NFT projects, with creators looking to control derivative projects. And Jesse said that back in like early December.
Very specific claim. Sounds like you might have had some inside knowledge.
Yeah, Jesse,
time
you
machine,
in on
Jesse?
This?
I wish. I certainly didn't get the retainer from Yuga Labs.
But Bored Ape's not CCO.
No, dumb luck. But I mean, I think this was one of the. I mean, Bored Apes has been having trouble with this from the beginning. CryptoPunks too. Obviously, now they're one entity. And most of these big projects, they have to walk the tightrope here. Like, do they enforce? Literally, what in Web 2 or anywhere else would be just the most obvious. We just DMCA them, or we sue these people for stealing our IP, with the Web 3 ethos of, okay, no, what we want is, you know, as close to CCO or open source or free, you know, free sharing of ideas from the true believers. So everybody's doing this balancing act from the beginning. Obviously, CryptoPunks enforced against the Funks, which was literally just a ripoff. And then the Funks seemed to get, you know, some momentum from that. Bored Apes has been very selective. I think they're, you know, they're very aware of and sensitive to not wanting to look like, you know, Web 2 bullies. But, you know, like you said, Andreessen, they're now basically a Web 2 media company. I think this was a case where, one, they were, I think they were fed up. Like, it was just like enough with the Nazi stuff. Like, we can keep being silent. We don't want to give it airtime with the Streisand effect. But I also think this was kind of almost like they wanted to respond to their holders. It was almost like the shareholders that were like, also like, we're so sick of these assholes. And I think they felt an obligation to their holders to be like, okay, we're going to, you know, we're, this is not going to be a regular thing, but this one dude is unsympathetic. These claims are outlandish. There's nothing interesting about this project. So I think, again, I don't think this portends anything that they'll start enforcing their IP more, but I think they're like, yeah, we're going to get this one guy. I think they were careful about a lot of things. I think they know where he lives. They did not put his address in the thing. I think they don't want to seem like they're doxing. There's no defamation claim. They were very careful here, but.
Well, they doxed OX Poly, but I feel like you're not acknowledging the fact that they literally have to do this in order to protect the trademark. Like, is that not the case? Like, if you own a trademark, you're obligated to protect the trademark. And in this case, if they weren't to do anything, then they wouldn't be doing that. Like, they have to actually do that. And then the case itself is not libel. It's not about defamation. It's literally about mostly trademark stuff. So I don't think that has anything to do with the community. And it's not on behalf of the community, although they're spinning it that way. I think they legally have to defend their trademark. That to me seems to be the primary thing. I mean, additionally, you do want to just a libel case is really difficult. It gets muddied. It just becomes really difficult to prove. But if you can cause financial challenges or hardships for the person who's attacking you in this case, I mean, there's some other aspect, and I didn't realize this. Apparently, on contract of the clone project, it literally references the original metadata from Bored Ape Yacht Club. So it's the same images. They didn't host their own version of it. It's just a direct replica pointing back to that original metadata using the same hash. So, at least that's my thing. Am I wrong about that?
I mean, you have an obligation to, in general, to basically enforce your trademark, but it's really, really, really pretty limited, and obviously they've let other things go that were ripoffs. Yeah, I mean, in this case, they're basically saying, you'll see, it'll be interesting, because they're basically saying, obviously with trademark, the whole thing is, does it cause confusion? I don't think anybody that bought a Rider Rips actually thought they were buying a Bored Ape, so we'll see if there's even any sort of substantive claim, or if they just literally are like, settle right away, and are like, listen, take this stuff down, stop doing this, and we'll let you go, without paying, or, give us half the profits, and we'll let this go. We'll see.
Yeah, something like this was bound to happen. So I think that this is just the natural, progression of the space. This is basically the first kind of big lawsuit like that. Like, are there other examples of big lawsuits that came about in the NFT space so far? I mean, there's the little DMCAs. But yeah, this is like
Jimmy's
the first
also
big lawsuit.
Suing as well, though, which is a whole other situation, which I think is going to maybe progress us towards more centralized projects.
Because Jimmy's suing is fascinating. That was the one thing I was like, this is bigger than I think the Yuga suing.
Well, when did he switch? Because I saw something from him a day or two ago saying I'm not suing. So he's now going to be suing?
Oh, I don't know. He posted a tweet the other day.
It was mocking one of the tweets that was like,
yeah,
I will never sue for the IP of my board or something like that.
And then he said the same thing.
Yeah.
But my understanding, the troll, though, seemed as though, okay, so maybe he's not, but it seems like someone has to do that in order,
I think you guys need to class action. That's what I've also heard, is individual holders of the individual IP can go after him in a separate lawsuit.
I mean, who's gonna take this? I mean, I guess someone would take that on just for press. I mean, it needs to be, someone's going to have to do it at some point just to create a basis for all of this. So I don't know. Anyways, I don't know enough. I'm not a lawyer. So my commentary, at least on the trademark side, is exclusively based on me spending way too much on trademark lawyers. But anyways.
Yeah. We'll see how the whole thing plays out. I don't see that much, continued steam, so to speak. I feel like the top is in.
So
yeah. But outside
of this, I'm wondering, are there any trades to be made here? Because we were discussing this yesterday, and I'm like, suddenly, hey, everybody, welcome to the morning dividend stock show. Thanks for tuning in. We're seeing a lot of opportunities in dividend stocks at the moment. Great yields. but in all seriousness, is there a trade right now? And I think all of the trades that we're really looking at is how can we buy some of the NFTs that we really want at discounts? We've seen it pull back. So with ETH currently ranging between 1,000 and 1,250 is the current approximate range outside of the capitulation or whatever you want to call it, the drop down to 880, which I wouldn't be surprised if we see it back down there at some point. But like, what are the trades to be made here in the NFT space? Or are we all basically just shuffling bags around to try and basically get, you know, blue chip or close to blue chip, whatever those are, that term has stuck, whether you like it or not. Is that really the name of the game at this point?
Well, we saw Gossamer Seed and Moonrunners have little runs, Moonrunners especially. And I don't know about this project, but it looks like it's like a derivative or inspired by moon birds. I mean, the word moon is in it. It's pixel art. It's a wolf instead of a bird. And there's similar traits to moon birds. So I'm not an expert on it. It emerged in the past week while we were all at NFT NYC and was really just discussed in Discords. Like, people at NFT NYC were like, yo, mood runners, you know what I mean? But yeah, that was that one popped up. Gossamer Seed popped up. I'm looking right here, this creepy project that's like the 4chan type project, Milady Maker, had a run, like a big, like 100%+ increase in volume in the past 24 hours, up to 0.8. So I don't know what the hell prompted that. But there, as usual, there are isolated wins in the NFT space. It's just very difficult to identify which ones are worth pursuing. We have a couple people with their hand raised. Sam Pott, anything on your mind? I don't know if it's related to a particular trade or something else. Please, no video games.
I'll get off stage then, mate, if that's the case. No, morning, Pio, buddy. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Oh, mate, I just thought I'd chime in with the whole other side.
Are you in a hallway?
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Sorry, but I basically work in a hole underneath some stairs, so I'm in a bit of an echoey room. I do apologize. I just thought I'd chime in on the other dude's debate, I think, let's call it that. And I don't want to chime back to my last comment the last time I was on the show, but my honest thought on it all is Yuga are going to release their own protocol, / blockchain. And obviously they're going to need validators, node runners. They're going to need a lot of infrastructure in the background. And the only way they're going to be able to kind of pitch that to the general public is if they gamify it or make it a fun way of kind of running the background of the network. And I genuinely think other deeds is kind of going to play a lot into that, because Futureverse have obviously, as I mentioned before, released their white paper, and a lot of the future earning of governance tokens and liquidity tokens is going to be from staking assets and their native token to their land. And there's just so many crossovers where you can literally see the same implementation coming from Yuga with all the assets they've got out there at the moment. So I really think, rather than it being just a pure game, I think it's going to be a whole metaverse play and how they're going to set up and run their nodes and their background protocol going forward. Because I'm just looking at like the token lockup for the ApeCoin alone. I mean, Yuga have set aside 16% of it to unlock after 12 months. What they'll do with it after that, who knows, whether it's going to be used as reward systems or payments and, you know, reimbursements for validators for running the network. That's kind of my theory. That's what I'm going with. I'm set up with another deed with an artifact at the moment, just crossing my fingers that there's going to be some sort of rewards back for validating nodes and running the network for them, basically. That's my take on it anyway, boys.
I think that's a good take.
Sorry, Pio.
No, my bad.
I was going to say that does align with the elitism that people that own Yuga Labs products. You know, I heard some takes at NFT NYC. They were like, why don't we just create our own event separate from NFT NYC? Because we're so elite that we really want to hang out with like anyone else that owns non-Yuga Labs NFTs. So it would make sense for them to just kind of entirely go to their own blockchain and build their kind of castle walls and keep the peasants out of their ecosystem. So I could see that happening too.
I think it's a good take, Sam. I think it's going to take a while, and price action when things take a while in the NFT space is typically affected adversely. We got ego.pcc.eth for real, for real. You've been on the show before. What are you thinking about?
Hey guys. Yeah, I've been listening to all of these topics, and I feel like I could speak to all of them because it's been a fascinating conversation. I just quickly say for the other deed situation, I agree that there's going to be a lot of incentives down the road. I know that it seems like a sketchy thing to sort of wait on this project, and I'm not a holder right now. I struck out during the mint, and I mean, I think it's important to remember that basically the fiasco of that other deeds mint was basically the industry top signal, and so I get the kind of notion to want to fade it or feel like it's going to take too long. But what the thing that scares me about the space is that, you know, the space is so nascent from like a creator builder point of view. There's so much work that has to be done. And there's so many projects that just aren't equipped and aren't going to make it, but it's still so very nascent too, from our point of view. Like, it's almost as though the entire NFT community is its own DAO in a sense. And we vote with the things that we buy and sell. And there's so many young people who have like no investment experience whatsoever and are just like YOLOing the shit out of everything. And then there's people with seasoned investment experience from traditional finance who kind of know what they're doing more so. And then there's people who are older. And it's just like, we kind of have a responsibility too to be a little bit patient sometimes. I think it's pretty evident. It should be pretty evident to see sort of which communities are looking like they're going to make it. And I know a lot of these companies with a lot of money that are building in behind the scenes are thinking 10 years ahead. And some of us should try to do the same. You know, I heard Wappy talk about his really shitty experience in the rain with the Doodles experience, but forgetting that for a second, I wasn't at NFT NYC, but the sentiment that I saw on Twitter overwhelmingly was very similar with Doodles, for instance, to South by Southwest. Like, what they built, the experience people had when they were inside was pretty remarkable. And Doodles, to me, you know, it's easy right now to kind of look at all of these projects, profile picture or otherwise, as sort of like being in the same basket. But, you know, in 15 years, when like, you know, the receipt, the insurance claim from your dentist is on the blockchain and your movie tickets and everything else that you're buying, we're not really going to think about them in the same terms. You know, one company could go on to be Coca-Cola and the other might be Mattel and the other might be Facebook. And so I think Doodles, arguably, just based on their broad mainstream appeal and how clearly they sort of have got it from a sort of taste point of view, I can see them being even more successful than Yuga potentially in 15 years' time. But I would not fade Yuga either. I think it is going to be a metaverse play, like Sam just said. And I think there's going to be a lot of incentives for holders. I think also, as we know, they're going to double up, and they say that there's going to be a second airdrop for those that already hold to double the supply. So I'm looking to get into other sides shortly as well. And then, like, you know, you look at Moonbirds. Moonbirds is another project that is substantial in space and has so many VC bona fides and has Kevin Rose and all that kind of Web2 clout, but they're not Doodles. They're very different, and they're not Artifact, and they're not Yuga. They're all very different, and in 10 years' time, they're going to probably be even more different. So we can't really all lump them into the same category, in my opinion. I guess that's all I was really going to say. And just very quickly, sorry, there's one other little thing talking about the DGEN plays that has kind of popped up in the last couple of days that maybe not too many people know about. There's a really interesting little project that's brewing called Kiko Bakes.
Seen that.
Yeah, so Kiko is like, it's another creator from the Zen Academy Discord, another 333 member. So it's similar in the origin. It has nothing to do with Zeneca and his team, but it is a 333 member, which is the same as Moonrunners in terms of just like that really small community of really smart people who are sort of helping one another out. So this Kiko is a 333 member. They've got this mystery little project that's still got a very, very low floor. They've got an interesting contract. The fortune cookies just evolved. It was a free mint. And I think they're sort of trying to position themselves slightly as like a 10K TF thing. There's a lot of mystery, some smart marketing, but it's very under the radar right now with everybody, with like Moonrunners and Gossamer sucking up all the oxygen in the space. So I think the floor for like quote unquote commons is still like 003. So it's an interesting place, something to look at. Their Twitter gives you a little bit of insight into what they're about, and their Discord too. They're doing something interesting, and I'm on board for it. I picked a couple up yesterday.
sales flying in now as you talk about them. This was brought up to me at NFT NYC by somebody.
What's the name?
It's called Kiko Bakes.
Yeah, Kiko Bakes.
Okay. And they're all connected. It's all like in a secret pump and dump group. I'm in. Let's go.
I don't know what it is, but I know that my suspicion.
We got whispers on the street. This is the next big project. if PO's like sales flying in, I see one sale.
I was going to comment on that. But anyway,
like literally, it's like sales are flying. People are rushing in. Everybody buy it. I'll be selling into this this pump. Thank you.
I get skeptical. I don't have any. I get skeptical when because we've seen this from other communities. Like we've seen people from the Pixel Vault community do this. And the thing is like there's that initial support from the people that are in the same Discord that want to support somebody like from the 333 Academy or from Zen Academy in general. Right. Just like I'm sure if somebody in our Discord put out a project, or I think there actually might already be examples of this where they put out a project and you get that support to get the sellout. But when you kind of look back on them after months, what it really was just like the people that made it were able to make $1 million. And it's like, congratulations, you guys made $1 million, but there wasn't any actual, there's not the same depth as if you buy an actual project like a 10K TF. Having said that, that doesn't mean that that's always the case. And it doesn't mean that this one can't do well. The art style is cool. It's definitely influenced by 10KTF. Looks like 184 ETH of total volume, 10,000 items, 3,000 owners, which is totally on brand for this type of project, which is like, you know, it's not a terrible unique ownership, but it's also not electric. If anything, given what I know about it from what you said, that it's from Zen Academy, that's actually a higher unique ownership than I would expect. So that's a little positive signal. Kix, you have your hand raised. Was there something you wanted to add to this?
First of all, I think it's, I didn't know that Moonrunners came from Zen Academy, but I think it's funny because these like free to mint projects that like do no roadmaps, and then when they start pumping, I think they're all going to be wait, never mind. We're going to make a roadmap. Actually, we're going to turn this into a real thing and keep this train running as long as we possibly can. But one of the interesting things that I'm trying to figure out with the other Deeds Mint is or like the other Deeds project is, do we know if they're going to incentivize players with ApeCoin? Have we gotten any clarity on that yet?
I gotta think no. They've given basically no information.
Cool. That's good. Then my whole point is gone.
No, I'm saying like we didn't have the info. Maybe they will, but we don't. We don't know.
Okay, because I think. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kex.
I was gonna say that. I think one of the interesting projects to look at to like understand the ecosystem effect of that is the world ecosystem. And because the interesting thing that happens is that like the currency of the metaverse, similar to like sand and sandbox land and similar to world land and the world token, is that they almost get they get very highly correlated, which is great to the upside. But the problem is then if you incentivize people to come and play with the token, so you're paying them the token to play the game, then what happens is that, of course, like those players are going to want to sell the token, and it creates a lot of emissions. And then that correlation can sometimes go to the downside, right? Because you're paying players, let's say an ape, to play other side. And then so a lot of emissions come out, and that creates selling pressure. And then that correlation can pull all of the other things down. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think that's something, it's a challenge that none of these metaverses have really figured out, which is how do you incentivize players with the currency of the metaverse without then creating this like negative correlation flywheel where when the price of that starts to go down, it affects the value of like the underlying assets. So I'm really interested to see what other Deeds does in order to like get players into the ecosystem. Cause I would hope that they try to get people just to play it, to play it. Cause if people play it to earn the currency, then if the currency starts to go downhill, then like the correlation of that currency and the underlying assets, like it can create like a negative flywheel. So I'm interested to see what happens there because no one's really solved that challenge yet.
It's going to be fascinating. We are at time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern. We always discuss all things NFT market, the stories of the space, and everything in between. As usual, we are sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. Check out Easy's show at 5 p.m., the Solana show, Solana Made Easy, 5 p.m. on Twitter Spaces. And we'll be back on YouTube later. We're just back, baby. See you guys next time.